next on the 5 o'clock report.
Not only was this a Category 4 storm, but it stayed a Category 4 storm for hours.
The parade of horribles are about to unfold.
It didn't have to be this way, and I lay it right at the feet of Joe Biden.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. The war is over.
The war is officially over.
That is our top story at 5. Breaking news tonight. The U.S. military just announcing that the last U.S. plane carrying American civilians and Afghan allies has left Afghanistan. The 20-year war now over.
I'm here to announce the completion of our withdrawal from Afghanistan and the end of the military mission to evacuate American citizens, third country nationals, and vulnerable Afghans. The last C-17 lifted off from Hamid Karzai International Airport on August 30th, this afternoon, at 3:29 p.m. East Coast time.
That's CENTCOM Commander General Kenneth McKenzie.
While the military evacuation is complete, the diplomatic mission to ensure additional U.S. citizens and eligible Afghans who want to leave continues. Tonight's withdrawal signifies both the end of the military component of the evacuation, but also the end of the nearly 20-year mission that began in Afghanistan shortly after September 11th, 2001.
Secretary of State Tony Blinken says while the military operation has ended, the effort to rescue Americans still trapped in Afghanistan continues.
There's no deadline on that effort. And we have mechanisms to help facilitate the ongoing departure of people from Afghanistan if they choose to leave.
The U.S. State Department says about 250 Americans are still stranded in Afghanistan. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says our fighting forces destroyed as much equipment as they could before getting out of Afghanistan.
We are still dealing with, as we saw from last night's rocket attacks, very real ongoing threats. And we're doing what we believe to be the prudent thing.
There is growing concern, however, that it's not just Americans who've been left behind in the mad dash to get out. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says a lot of our weapons have been left there, too.
We are less safe today than we were before 9/11 because now they have our weaponry. Taliban now has more Black Hawk helicopters than Australia.
Florida Congressman and former Green Beret Michael Waltz says President Biden's exit plan from Afghanistan has put the U.S. at the mercy of the Taliban.
And this notion that we have leverage over the Taliban, let me tell you, having sat across the table from these thugs, every time they don't get access to the billions in foreign reserves or economic assistance or international recognition, they can walk right down the street and take another hostage. They're the ones with leverage, and this administration has handed it to them on a silver platter.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
The parade of horribles are about to unfold. We're leaving thousands of Afghan allies behind who fought bravely with us. We're going to leave hundreds of American citizens behind. The chance of another 9/11 just went through the roof.
A recent ABC News poll, in fact, shows 84% of Americans think our troops should stay in Afghanistan until every single U.S. citizen is out. Once again, the breaking news tonight, the U.S. war in Afghanistan now officially over, with the last warplane leaving the airport in Kabul earlier today. Over 40 Republicans in Congress now calling for President Biden to be removed from office over his handling of the U.S. exit from Afghanistan.
This administration, it's failure after failure after failure. It literally is time for this president to resign.
New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew says President Biden has put the U.S. in danger because of his decisions in Afghanistan. Former White House spokesman Ari Fleischer.
He made the call to bug out of Afghanistan. He made the call that we withdraw all our forces. And he utterly failed to prepare the American people for what was going to happen. And he dismissed it, if you remember, right before July 4th by saying he only wanted to talk about happy things. It's a three-day weekend. Doesn't work that way.
Fleischer says the administration could have secured the capital city of Kabul long before the Taliban takeover earlier this month. Retired Army Infantry Captain Sean Parnell says failure to do so is why 13 U.S. soldiers soldiers lost their lives last week.
It didn't have to be this way. We could have secured the city of Kabul, but instead we left that city to the Taliban. So this has been just a wholly preventable tragedy, and I lay it right at the feet of Joe Biden. This is an unbelievable leadership failure, and it breaks my heart to see it.
Republicans now calling for hearings into the Taliban takeover in Afghanistan and the Biden administration's response to it. Aftermath of Ida. That is the other big story at 5.
No one will be left out.
One of the most powerful hurricanes to ever hit the U.S. mainland, now heading north after leaving a trail of destruction in Louisiana and in Mississippi. President Biden says 5,000 National Guard troops in the Gulf Coast tonight, helping with the recovery effort.
For a time, Ida caused the Mississippi River to literally change its direction. And some folks are still dealing with the storm surge and flash flooding. And there are roads that are impassable due to debris and down power lines.
Nearly 2 million people without power in Louisiana tonight, including the entire city of New Orleans. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell.
I think we're going to see more damage than what we probably initially projected. Not only was this a Category 4 storm, but it stayed a Category 4 storm for hours.
And to add insult to injury tonight, police in New Orleans say people in the Big Easy have started looting. Police Chief Sean Ferguson.
We made several arrests, as well as we have obtained warrants for subjects as well for their arrests. And that's for a state felony for looting in the state of Louisiana.
Ida, now a tropical storm and expected to impact parts of Pennsylvania and the eastern Twin Tiers starting late tomorrow night and lasting right on through Thursday. Still to come this Monday, Ida's impact on our listening area. Buffalo welcomes Afghan refugees and the lost art of cursive writing.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Here's the call for the night tonight. A little spot shower, thunder shower early, eastern Pennsylvania. Otherwise, it'll turn out partly cloudy. Areas with fog will form, low temperature 60s. For tomorrow, some sunshine, not as warm as recent days, and less humid for most, high temperatures 70s and low 80s. Wednesday, cooler, mainly cloudy, with rain across much of Pennsylvania and the southern tier of New York. Some of the rain could be heavy across central eastern Pennsylvania in particular. High temperatures Wednesday, mid-60s to the low 70s.
All right, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Monday, August 30th, Ida expected to drop buckets of rain on central Pennsylvania and the eastern southern tier of New York on Wednesday.
We will not experience any winds with this, or at least not major winds. This is going to be a heavy rain threat, a flooding threat.
Meteorologist Brett Thackra at ABC 27 News says up to half a foot of rain could fall on the mid state and eastern parts of PA.
Today and tomorrow now are the time to prepare if you know you live in a flood-prone area, because we could be talking about some significant rain.
The storm will remain a threat to the Keystone State and the eastern southern tier through early Thursday. Well, it wasn't a storm, rather a raccoon that caused 10,000 NYSEG customers near Binghamton to lose power last night. Officials say the coon crawled into a substation and caused the power outage in the towns of Union, Johnson City, and Vestal around 9 o'clock last night. The Red Cross of Rochester, New York, deploying dozens of volunteers to Louisiana to help in the recovery effort from Hurricane Ida.
I'll be flying into Mobile, Alabama tomorrow. But where I end up, I don't know. Wherever the greatest need is.
Richard McCory from Rochester has been a Red Cross volunteer for 5 years. He'll be providing spiritual as well as physical care to storm victims.
Mostly disaster spiritual care is about helping people to find hope in the midst of what seems like hopeless situations. First and foremost, we are people of prayer, so we pray for the victims and also for the people that are responding.
If you can help out, the Red Cross can use you. Just go to redcross.org to find out. Buffalo, New York, one of 19 cities across the country that's taking in refugees from Afghanistan. These are people who fled the country because of the Taliban takeover earlier this month.
The moment you get off the plane, you are assuming you don't have any family here to meet you. You will be met by one of our case managers.
Denise Phillips Behag, helping with the refugee resettlement process in Western New York. A Pennsylvania politician is proposing legislation that gives minors the right to choose for themselves whether they want a COVID-19 vaccine. Like most states, the Keystone State requires parental consent before a minor can get the jab. State Senator Amanda Cappelletti has authored a bill that gives minors the right to make their own vaccination decisions regardless of their parents' wishes. A milk truck driver shortage promising to sour an already struggling dairy industry. Officials say drivers are in high demand across New York and PA.
We produce the highest quality product here at the farm, but if we can't move that product from the farm to the processor, from the processor to the store, the consumer, in a timely manner, then all the hard work of the quality that we produce of this product becomes questionable at best.
Ben Simons, a dairy farmer from Remsen, New York, he blames the lack of milk truck drivers on those federal unemployment benefits.
If anybody's out there that has the inkling to drive a truck, we are more than looking for you.
Simon says milk truck drivers can start out making $20 an hour, and a lot of companies will even pay for you to get your driver's training. Time now for your market report, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors.
It was a mixed day on Wall Street as large tech companies soared. The S&P 500 reached another all-time high and is on pace to increase for a seventh consecutive month. Insurance and energy firms dropping today because of Hurricane Ida. The Dow was down 56 points, the NASDAQ gaining 136, and the S&P 500 added 19. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
We came into this world with nothing, and we'll leave the same way. Hi, I'm Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. You may have heard the joke about a wealthy man who didn't like the idea that you can't take it with you. So he had all his gold buried with him. When he got to the pearly gates, his gold was right there. He said to St. Peter, "So you can take it with you." Peter looked at the man very puzzled and asked, "Why would you want to bring all of this pavement?" You know, when we reach heaven's streets of gold, none of the material things we value now will be worth anything to us. So hold it all with an open hand, because it really is true that you can't take it with you. And besides, even if you could, you wouldn't want it when you get there. We can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you download the free MoneyWise app. You'll find it on our website at moneywise.org.
12 minutes past the hour, sunny time. Drive Home Sports.
Yes, sir. Simona Halep and Garbi Muguruza, a pair of two-time Grand Slam champions, pulled out tough two-set victories today. The opening round of the U.S. Open, Sloane Stephens had one even tougher, needing 2 hours, 10 minutes to beat Madison Keys, 6-3, 1-6, 7-6, in a rematch of her victory of the 2017 final. On the men's side, number 11 seed Diego Schwartzman rolled into the second round in straight sets. Major League Baseball, Zach Wheeler will try to have the Phillies win today, beating the Nationals. He hopes he's pitching. Philadelphia 4.5 games out of the East lead. Yankees lead the American League wild card by 2 games. They play the Angels. Blue Jays at home against the Orioles. Toronto still alive in the wild card hunt, 5.5 games back. And in yesterday's Pirates-Cardinals game, can you tell which team's announcers made this call?
Setsugo launches one out to deep right. It stays fair and gone. The Pirates win it.
Pirates win this walk-off. 4-3. Someone hug him for family life. I'm Sonny Delphiet.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The weather looks fairly quiet in the short term. We will, though, need to monitor, track the remnants of what was powerful Hurricane Ida. Those remnants will accelerate north and east from the lower Mississippi Valley, reaching the lower northeastern states on Wednesday, potentially bringing some hefty rains to parts of our area. Here is the call for the night tonight. A little spot shower, thunder shower early, eastern Pennsylvania. Otherwise, it'll turn out partly cloudy. Areas with fog will form, low temperature 60s. For tomorrow, some sunshine, not as warm as recent days, and less humid for most, high temperatures 70s and low 80s. Wednesday, cooler, mainly cloudy, with rain across much of Pennsylvania and the southern tier of New York. Some of the rain could be heavy across central eastern Pennsylvania in particular. High temperatures Wednesday, mid-60s to the low 70s.
All righty, Kevin Williams finally at 5. Meet the 91-year-old who's teaching cursive to Arizona students to keep the lost art of handwriting alive. Family Life's Brendan Dixon.
The rise of the keyboard and smartphone has led to the lost art of handwriting in many modern classrooms. Most schools don't even teach it anymore. That's where 91-year-old Marilyn Herrer of Scottsdale, Arizona comes in. This retired school teacher is trying to change the culture when it comes to writing in cursive. Herrer volunteers once a week at her local elementary school where she's affectionately known as the Cursive Queen. Herrer points out America's most sacred documents, including the Declaration of Independence, are written in cursive, so it's important for kids to not just write in cursive, but to learn to read it, too. Studies have shown a link between cursive writing and brain activity in kids. Brendan Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. The lost art of writing in cursive.
Mm.
If I want to send a secret message to my wife, Sonny.
Yeah.
So my kids can't read it?
Oh, yeah.
I just write it in cursive. Problem solved.
My wife has beautiful cursive handwriting. Me, it looks like I'm writing you a doctor's prescription. It's
there
bad.
There you go. I'm with you. Same for me.